Good morning to everybody out there. Today we are doing a series on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. There is nothing more important in the Bible than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9 verse 22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." What that means is that your sins cannot be forgiven without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ having been shed. It's not just any blood that will do it. It's not the blood of goats and bulls. It's not the blood of a human being, but it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that saves an individual. It's either the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ or it is hell. Hebrews 10, verses 26, starting in verse 26, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." I read that scripture last week and I read it again this week to let you know how important God considers the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Given in the context of the severest type of judgment that can come upon anybody. In fact, it says, how much sore punishment do you think that they might be entitled to? You know, in our hymn books, we have a lot of songs that deal with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're not sung in churches today like they were at one time. People are fearful of that bloody slaughterhouse religion is what they call it. But I'm here to tell you, if the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is not applied to the doorpost of your heart, then you're going to die in your sin and go to hell. It's not just... we know that the Lord Jesus Christ had to also die. In the Old Testament sacrifices, the sacrifice always had to be had to die. But that blood of that animal that was a temporary covering had to be applied. It always had to be applied. Even in the delivery of the children from the judgment that preceded the first Passover, their delivery in that was conditioned upon the fact of the blood being applied to their doorpost. If the blood is shed and not applied, then there is no deliverance. There is no salvation. But as I was saying, there were a lot of hymns in our hymn book about the blood. Are you washed in the blood? There is a fountain. There is power in the blood. Nothing but the blood. And then we start talking about songs that talk about the cross itself. The song Blessed Redeemer. The song The Old Rugged Cross talks about it. The song Near the Cross talks about it. All beautiful hymns of the faith. And God has put His power upon those hymns. And what I would like to do is try to sing to you several verses of the song Nothing But the Blood this morning. Because it is nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll overcome, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Glory, glory, this I sing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. All my praise for this I bring, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What a beautiful hymn that is. What a beautiful hymn it is. And it testifies to the fact that the only way that we can get into heaven is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no remission for sins. Last week I talked with you about some of the things relating to what the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can do. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, a brief summary of that doctrine given in the New Testament, states that through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive propitiation, we receive justification, redemption, spiritual cleansing, reconciliation to God, sanctification, and the privilege to come before the Father, and we also receive victory over Satan. I went over some of those terms last week, and I will just briefly restate some of them this morning. Justification is an act of free grace whereby God pardons the sinner and accepts him as righteous on account of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Redemption is a purchase of God's favor by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Redemption is the price paid to God for the deliverance of sinners from the bondage of sin and Satan. Now, propitiation is the act of the Lord Jesus Christ whereby he appeased the wrath of God. I repeat, the wrath of God toward the sinner. This propitiation came through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that it could come. Now, remission is another Bible word that we come to. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Remission is an act of God's forgiveness whereby we are pardoned from the punishment that we justly deserve. In other words, we deserve to be in hell. I don't care who you are out there today, you deserve to be in hell. And were it not for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, every man that has ever been born would have to spend an eternity in the devil's hell. Now, last week we talked a little bit about what the atonement meant. And last week I stated there were 175 references in the Old Testament to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the atonement. That's not, I misspoke there. There is 175 references in the New Testament alone, plus hundreds of others in the Old Testament. And what that means in the New Testament is that one in every 44 verses has something to say about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the blood or hell is what it is. And it's also significant, once again, that the word atonement is mentioned one time in the New Testament. And that reason that is significant, the atonement, his blood, only had to be shed one time, and that was good for all. You only have to get saved one time, and once the blood is applied, it is good for an eternity. Now, in talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have also the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It has been said that mercy is not getting what we deserve and that grace is getting what we do not deserve. Put another way, we do not deserve the mercy of God, but it is by his grace that we are saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once we are saved, we are forgiven of our sins. All past, present, and future sins are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That does not say that we do not have to repent, because if we get wrong with God, we better repent, because if we don't, God could take us out of this world if we don't repent of our sins. Repentance is a doctrine that applies both to the lost sinner and to the saved sinner. Repentance is absolutely necessary for the salvation of the lost sinner, and repentance is absolutely necessary for fellowship to be carried on with God once you do get saved. If you sin against God once you get saved, you don't lose your salvation, you just have the fellowship broken. Now in Ephesians 2 verses 13 through 18, we see that through the blood of Christ, that Christ became our peace and brought about peace and reconciliation between the Jews and the Gentiles. That scripture says this, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by what? By the blood of Christ. For he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You see that it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes us nigh unto God. In Ephesians 2, the verses we just read, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 18, we see the portrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ as our peace offering. If you have no peace, you haven't been saved. Or either that or you're in an open sin. The peace offering was the sweet savor offering that is prominently described in Leviticus chapters 3 and 7. Not only did the blood of Christ make reconciliation possible between the Jew and Gentile, but also between God and all of mankind. That enmity came about in Genesis chapter 3 when both Adam and Eve fell. We were at that point in time, we were at enmity with God. And it was from that point in time that he began, praise God, seeking our reconciliation. He pointed to the, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Reconciliation is the only means whereby man can be restored to friendship and fellowship with God. Our sin put us at enmity with God. A state of war exists between God and man, and man is the aggressor. Reconciliation results in the destruction of the enmity between God and man. The blood of Christ is that means of reconciliation. That's the only way we can be reconciled to God. There is reconciliation in the atonement. And remember, that word atonement means at one meant. In other words, we are at one with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 21, let me read this scripture to you. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through, listen at this, through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. That's amazing, isn't it? If you think about it. And that's done through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And note that it's not just men that are at variance with God or that are enmity with God that needs reconciliation. It's the whole earth, because the whole creation groaneth waiting for the redemption of our bodies to occur, for that rapture to take place, when the whole creation will be set back to where it ought to be at in the way God had originally intended that it be. So our sin has created a great deal of problems, not just for us, but for all of creation. And it's only through the blood of Christ that that restoration takes place. It's only through the blood of Christ that we see redemption and forgiveness of sins. As stated earlier, the Lord Jesus Christ became our peace offering. He is the only way that we'll ever have peace with God. It is through his blood that we have peace with God and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, according to Philippians 4, verse 7. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. If you don't have that peace today, or you have a salvation that has not given you peace, and you're in constantly in torment, then I submit to you that you have not been saved. You do not have the peace that passeth all understanding. Through reconciliation, we can have fellowship with God through the Holy Ghost of God. A prominent theme in relation to the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ is reconciliation. In the New Testament, the believer has been given what? What has he been given? He has been given the ministry of reconciliation. We are to seek to reconcile others to Christ, and the only way that that's to be done is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to preach salvation. We're to preach the necessity of the blood. Without the blood, there is no salvation. It's either the blood or hell. Now, we see the words reconciling, and reconciliation used 10 different times in the New Testament in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. For verification, you can look at Romans chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21, Ephesians 2, 14 through 16, Colossians 1, verses 20 to 21, and Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Now that I mentioned the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9, 6 through chapter 10, verse 30, is an extended passage on the importance and necessity of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you take a look at that, at the book of Hebrews is the bloodiest book in the New Testament. It talks more about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ than it does any other subject. It talks about not just the blood, but it talks about the function of the office of high priest. The Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest. Had he have not taken that blood that he shed on Calvary and went into the Holy of Holies in heaven and put that blood upon the mercy seat, we would not have salvation. It was absolutely necessary that that blood be applied to the mercy seat in heaven. Had it not been done, I don't care what your favorite preacher or teacher has told you, had that blood not have been applied to the mercy seat, there would be no salvation. Now, the book of Hebrews contains 20 references to the blood in it. Isn't that amazing? 12 chapters and 20 references to the blood. All of these references, with the exception of one, are to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, either in a type or to the blood of Christ in fact. That's amazing if you take a look at that book of Hebrews. The types were pictures that showed over and over again that the innocent had to die. The innocent had to die for my sin. He had to die for your sin. And that's one thing that we need to keep in mind. The Lord Jesus Christ was perfect. He was sinless. Not only was he sinless, he could not have sinned. Had he have sinned, he could not have been our Savior. And by the way, one of the reasons that he could not sin is because his blood was different from our blood. His blood was the blood of the Holy Ghost of God. The sin nature comes through the man. If you'd like to read a good book that deals with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to read the book by Brother Al Lacy called The Blood of His Cross. And he documents the very thing that I have just said to you. He documents that the fact that the blood comes through the man. The sin nature is passed through the man. That's why that it was God the Holy Ghost that conceived the Lord Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary. And by the way, Mary was to be exalted among women. She was not to be exalted above women. She has no special place in the plan of redemption. She was the mother of Jesus. She was not the mother of God. She was the mother of Jesus. And as such, nothing that she could do could result in your salvation. She did bear the Lord Jesus Christ, but she is not a co-redemptress. She's not a co-intercessor. And she is not the way to my salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ and his blood is the only way to my salvation. Now, if we take a look at the offerings in the Old Testament, they were repeated over and over and over again, weren't they? And the book of Hebrews plainly states that it's a one-time offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is blasphemous to have a Lord's Supper or transubstantiation, whatever you want to call it, a doctrine that says that the Lord Jesus Christ has to be offered over and over and over. Anytime that you state that he has to be a continual and perpetual sacrifice, you are guilty of trodding underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are counting it as an unholy thing. That is wicked. It's a heresy that will condemn a lot of people to hell. Now, it is in the Holy of Holies where mercy is found at, isn't it? The sacrifice required the sinless blood of the Lamb of God, Hebrews 9:14. Without the shedding of his blood, there is no remission, according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. I've read and quoted that verse over and over. The veil in the tabernacle and in the temple represented the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. When that was rent, that was the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. And note that it was rent from top to bottom. It came from the heavenlies is where it came from. Now, that is why the veil, if we look at it in the temple, was rent from the top to bottom. And we see that in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, and also in Hebrews 6:19. Until the body of Christ was rent for us, we could have no access to the Holy of Holies. We are instructed to come boldly before the throne of grace, and we can only do that through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, because of his blood, the Lord Jesus Christ is our eternal high priest. There is no priest out here for the Roman Catholic Church, for the Lutheran Church. There is no Baptist Pope. There is no Baptist preacher that is my intercessor. My high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you're saved out there this morning, you are also a priest. You are a priest of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're under the obligation to exercise that priesthood according to the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in a priesthood of believers. If you're saved, you're both a priest and a saint. You don't have to be set aside as a saint by some church. When you get saved, you're a saint. Now, the whole theme in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, is that the animal sacrifices were not sufficient in the sight of God. Also look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. It is very instructive that church attendance comes up in the middle of a discussion about the blood of Christ. Do you believe that God thinks that church attendance is very, very important, especially when it's mentioned in the context of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's an amazing thing, isn't it? And we also see in that very same passage, the idea mentioned in there that if you trod the foot of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ underfoot, then you're counting it as an unholy thing. Mentioned all in the context of church attendance. God considers church attendance important enough. After all, God shed His blood for the church. That's who He shed it for. Now, Hebrews 13, 11 and 12 describes the sin offering of Jesus thus. Verse 11 says this, "For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate." That's where the Lord Jesus Christ suffered at. The sin offering described is described in detail in Leviticus chapters 1 through 5. All aspects of it is described there. Leviticus 4:12, 4:21, and Leviticus 16:27 required that the sin offering had to be carried forth without the camp. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified outside the city of Jerusalem on Golgotha. The Lord Jesus Christ was also raised from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's one of the ways. He was raised by the Holy Ghost, wasn't he? But he was raised through the blood of the everlasting covenant, according to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through what?" Listen at this. "Through the blood of the everlasting covenant." That's how it happened. Now, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, salvation was made available to us through the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And where was it sprinkled at? It was sprinkled upon the mercy seat of in the Holy of Holies in heaven. 1 Peter 1, 2 says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied." The blood of Jesus Christ cannot be bought with money or works. God has stated the worth of the blood of Christ in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. And this is probably where we're going to close for today. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood," the precious blood of Christ, "as a lamb without blemish and without spot." There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Thank you for tuning in today. We will probably continue this on in a further broadcast and close out with one more broadcast. I've got a few more things that need to be said about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, thank you for tuning in today, and God bless you. Yeah.